Thank you so much for joining us for this week's message from Real Life Community, where we talk about connecting with God and others, growing in Christ-likeness, and sharing God's life with the world. My name is Sarah Comer, and I serve each week as Connections Pastor, making sure that you know that there is a God and a community that loves you and wants to go through the seasons of life with you. You can find us at reallifecommunity.org, and we would love to meet you on Facebook or Instagram. Until then, we hope this message meets you right where you are and helps you know just how deep the Father's love is for you.
Might do things a little bit differently today than we normally do. We're going to let God do his thing, okay? Because I think he's already doing his thing right now in our midst. As we sing the songs about how deep his love is for us, and we're recognizing those things. So, first question for you guys. How many of you have ever asked Jesus into your heart? Raise your hand. Yay. Okay, good. That's the best decision you'll ever make in your life, right? So I tell my kids, it's the biggest and best decision you'll ever make in your whole life is asking Jesus to come into your heart and cleanse you from all your sins. So now I need feedback, okay? So I want you to talk to me. What happened when you asked Jesus into your heart? Somebody tell me. Anybody?
More aware of my sin.
Huh?
More aware of my sin.
You were more aware of your sin, okay?
Felt like a big burden was lifted right off.
Yes, amen. Big burden was lifted. What else?
Peace.
Okay, belonging.
Didn't feel alone.
Beautiful.
Couldn't wait to tell my family who weren't Christians.
Okay, very excited, right? Fills us up with that excitement. Anybody else? Do you even remember that time in your life when you asked Jesus into your heart? How many of you has it been a long time? Like years, like when you were a child? Okay, yep. Me too, I was 8. Okay, so it's been a while. Well, I had a refreshing reminder of this glorious moment in our lives when I got to go to kids camp. It's the first time this summer when I got to go to church camp as an adult. Okay, and it was amazing listening to 122 children sing worship songs at the top of their lungs. It's got to be really close to the angels singing. It was glorious. So the last night that we were there, a man had been speaking, our speaker that had been there the whole week, and he kind of asked the kids, kind of invitation, you know, if you've been thinking about asking Jesus into your heart, raise your hand. And had the adults kind of go around, and either the kids could come and they could pray at the altar, or we could go to them. And so I was standing kind of off to the side, and this one little girl raised her hand, so I went over to her. And it was one of the highlights of my whole life. I'll never forget this opportunity they got to have with this little girl, because she was probably 9 or 10 years old. And as much as a 9 or 10 year old can grasp that love of God, that belief that Jesus is real and that he loves her and that he saved her from her sins, she had that. She was almost shaking and she was crying, and it was very evident that God was with her and had his hand on her. So she's sitting there and I'm trying to talk to her, and she says she wants to ask Jesus into her heart. So we start praying. I'm helping her pray. And then one of the coolest things about ministry is when God uses you in a way that it wasn't even me speaking. Like, he does that from time to time. If we can be open enough to him, he'll use our mouth as his mouth. And so I looked at this little girl, and for some reason, well, for the reason God was telling me to do this, he told me to say this particular thing to this little girl. And so I looked her in the face and I said, "He's in there, you believe that, right?" And she was like, "Yeah." And I said, "You will never again be alone. From this moment on, you will never be alone. He's in there and he's not going anywhere." And she just starts sobbing. And obviously this little girl needed to hear that. In that moment in her life, she needed to hear that she was always going to have someone with her. And he's the the best person to have with her, right? I mean, we can be separated from parents, and we can be separated from siblings, we can be separated from loved ones, but once we invite Jesus into our heart, he never leaves. He will not leave unless you tell him to, okay? So if you ask him into your heart when you're 8 or 9 years old and you never kicked him out of there, he's still there. Even if you haven't necessarily acknowledged him in a while, he is still in there. So when I was a little girl and I asked Jesus into my heart, I was 8 or 9. It was at church camp. And as much as I could understand, I knew God had saved me. He saved me from my sins. He wiped the slate clean. I knew he was in there. But then what happened? What happens to most of us? The world. It is there. This Bible verse that we were learning in a quizzing talks about sin is crouching at your door. You know, I try to get the kids to, we do these little hand motions to learn things, you know. So sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Okay? So it's always crouching at our door, even at 8 and 9 years old. Okay, so the world started to seep in, right? Let's go to the first slide, please. And we're going to just look at a few passages of scripture that kind of help reiterate what happens to us when we ask Jesus into our heart. And I'm going to have to come stand down here because I don't have these on my thing. So I'm going to read these with you guys. But the first one is 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come." So how many of you believe that? Okay, when Jesus comes into your life, he makes a new creation out of you. You are something new. You're no longer this old self. You are the new self. He makes us totally new. Ephesians 1:13, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth." Okay, so what's the word of truth? The gospel, okay? The gospel of your salvation. "Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit." So when you ask Jesus into your heart, you not only get Jesus who comes in and dwells within you and sits there and becomes a part of who you are, you also get this beautiful seal of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about the power of the Holy Spirit before, and I think I even talked about that last time I was up here and able to speak to you guys. The amazing power of the Holy Spirit is within us. Even at 8 and 9 years old, the Holy Spirit is there and with us. But the world comes in, doesn't it? Okay, there's one more passage. Next slide, please. And this is from Ezekiel. And I love this verse. It says, "I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people, and I will be their God." So this is taking it a step further, right? So Jesus comes into our heart. He gives us a new heart. It's no longer a heart of stone, but a heart of flesh. And they will follow my decrees. Okay, just like you learn the Ten Commandments whenever you're in Sunday school, or maybe some of you guys never went to Sunday school, but you try very hard to, like, obey those rules, right? But who's our help for us to obey those rules and follow his decrees? Yes, somebody said it. The Holy Spirit. He's in there, okay? And I think it's so easy for us to forget. We forget that he's in there, that the most powerful being in all of creation is within us. He made us new. He wiped us clean. He cleansed us from our sins. And we forget. I forgot the power that was inside me as I was growing up. I forgot about it. We just let everything else get in our way. Sin, the world, the trappings of this world claw at us and help us forget this amazing, unbelievable power that is within us. We forget. Okay? So today what I want to talk about a little bit is that process. What things look like. How do we go from 8, 9 years old? Who got saved when they were older? Anybody in here ask Jesus into your heart when you're a little bit older? Okay. So that's probably a whole other level of cleansing, right? Because when you're 8 or 9 years old, the effect of his cleansing from your sin is more of, you know, I didn't share my toy very well with my brother, or sometimes I tell lies, or things like that. But the level of sin that he erased for us when we were adults is immense. So I can't even imagine how that feels, being an adult and first asking him in there and knowing that he's completely wiped everything away. He's washed it all clean. Okay, so we're going to be in James today. We're going to kind of be back and forth because that's just how it's going for me these days. All right, so let's go to the next slide, please. Okay, so here's what I put. I said, yay, now what? Okay, so yay, we're excited. We've asked Jesus into our heart. He's in there. We know it. He's cleaned us from our sins. And now what? So the trappings of this world, like sin, is desiring to have us. Okay, he's coming for us. Now what? James 1:27 says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So James has an interesting situation here. If you want to turn to James, we're going to be in it off and on today. Like I'm talking to the kids. Is James in the Old or New Testament? The New Testament? That's what I do in there. We got to let them learn. Okay, so James is in the New Testament. And so what he does is he's very intentional in his writing, okay? So chapter one, my title here is listening and doing, okay? So he has listening and doing, the second section of chapter one. And then right below that, he has this little section called favoritism forbidden. And then again below that, he says faith and deeds. So I feel like James is helping us here, at least today, unpack what the disconnect can be in our lives between listening and doing, favoritism is forbidden, and faith and deeds. Okay, he's intentionally sandwiched this in here. So I just want us to just start thinking in our lives, is there a disconnect? Why did we forget about this power that's within us? Why do we just sit sometimes in our sin? We're still going to sin, right? He's in there, and we still need to ask him for forgiveness, right? When we do something wrong, we still need to go to him. We don't have to go to him and ask him back into our hearts, but we still have to go to God, and we still have to repent. And he does that, and he forgives us. So what James is trying to say here is that it's not enough for us to just ask Jesus into our heart, whether we're 8, 82, 28. Don't know what's up with 8, but anyway, if we're one of those. We can't just do that and then go on living our lives like nothing happened. We can't do that, right? Because the brutality of the cross was not for us to ask him for forgiveness and then go on living our lives however we wanted, right? Do you agree with me on that? He did not go through everything that he went through for us so that we could one time in our lives talk to him and ask him to wipe the slate clean and then go on living our lives however we want. That is not how God intended for things to be. Right? He wants us to make use of that power that's within us. He wants us to make use of the Jesus that's in our heart and the Holy Spirit that's just everywhere. He wants us to make use of that and be a light for others, but we forget. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about this pollution, okay? There's lots of different pollutions in the world. He's telling us to keep ourselves from being polluted by the world. Now, can we keep ourselves from being polluted by the world all by ourselves? No. Okay, right? So we have to go to God. He is our help. He talks about when he sends the Holy Spirit, he's sending a helper for us. He is there helping us so that we can combat the sin and the temptation and all the things of this world, right? So again, we have that power within us. So we have to believe that he's in there and that he's giving us the ability to combat these things. So the one particular thing that James decides to do is here in chapter 2 where he says favoritism forbidden. I don't think I said that right. Anyway. So this is just one example of the different pollutions in the world, okay? He's going deeper here. Now, at my state in life, I have a 9, almost 10-year-old, and a 5-year-old, okay? So my job right now as a mom is to keep those kids as innocent as I possibly can for as long as I can, right? Because there's TV and videos and ads and just violent video games and just, I mean, there's so many things out there right now that can pollute my children. And so one of my jobs as a mother is to try to protect them from that as long as I possibly can. So that is most definitely a pollutant of the world, or a tool of Satan, right? He uses those things to steal our innocence. He does. But James is going, he's going deeper with this, okay? So we have, I feel like there's different levels of pollution in our lives. But he's talking about favoritism. Now, James wrote this book, it says, to the 12 tribes that were scattered among. So it's not to a necessary particular church, but he is writing to all the tribes that have scattered. And clearly, favoritism has become an issue within those the people, okay? They're the chosen people of God. It's probably easy to kind of get a higher head, right? It's pretty easy for them. So what he says in chapter 2 is he starts talking about there's a poor man and there's a rich man that come into their assembly, right? And so the rich man, he's got his gold and he's looking good and he probably smells nice and all this kind of stuff. And so they're like, oh, look at you. You sit over here, sir. We have a spot just for you, you know? Well, then the poor man comes in. They're like, you need to go over there. You just stay over there. You don't belong, right? And he's basically, he gets pretty strong with his words. And he's like, this cannot be. You cannot treat people differently. If you have the love of God within you, you cannot treat people like they're on this ladder that does not exist, right? So he gets pretty upset with them. He goes through, he says, dear brothers, Has God not chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith, to inherit the kingdom he promised to those who he loved? Who was Jesus close with whenever he was on the earth? He was loving the poor. He was loving the lepers, you know, the sick people that had been banished from society. Jesus was coming to them. And he's like, look, the poor are rich in the eyes of God, so they should be rich in your eyes, okay? So now this doesn't necessarily speak to us directly. I seriously doubt, I hope nobody in this room would necessarily do that particular thing to a person, right? We like to consider ourselves a loving church, and we are a loving church. And this may not even be our issue. We may have something else that's going on that's kind of keeping us from using that full power potential that's within us. There could very well be something else. But here let's skip down to verse 12. He says, look, you need to speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. I'm going to say it again. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So what he's saying here to us is that, look, we know God. We believe in him, right? We believe that he loves us and that he saved us from our sins and that he's this great and powerful God and that he's bigger and greater and all these things, better than us, right? God's up here and we're down here. So we should speak and act like we believe that gospel. Who were you before you asked Jesus into your heart? What did your life look like before he came in and made you clean? We were all a mess, weren't we? We were all dirty. We were all sinful. Every single one of us had to be saved by the same Savior. And that's the way it is today. And he's saying, look, you need to speak and act like you're going to be judged by this God who is up here, and we are all down here. We're all sinners. Paul had it right. I don't know if you guys know too much about Paul, but he called himself a worthless sinner, the lowest of the low. And this is when he was in prison for sharing the gospel. But he still knew that without God, he's nothing. And we know this within us, but sometimes we still want to treat people in these categories. And he's saying, no, we can't do that. You speak and act like you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that he died for all of us to save our sins? That his love is big enough to change anyone? Do you believe that? He did. And that's what James is saying. And we could put so many different things into this category, couldn't we? The gospel of Jesus Christ saves us from having to fear and worry, doesn't it? He's the great victor of the only war that matters. So why would we fear and worry when we have the power of God within us, when we have the Savior within our life? What other things can pull us down? Any thoughts? Anybody want to be open and honest today? What are some things that make us forget? Distractions. Busyness. That's mine. I'm a Martha. I just go and I do and I want to do and be and I'm just, let's do this. I got to get this done. Okay, God, I'll talk to you later. I got to get this done. But that's my big one, and Satan uses that. He's like, woman, you still got stuff to do. You don't have time to talk to God right now. Right? He uses whatever it is that's going on inside us. Satan is constantly using that to keep us distracted from the one who's there. We were at District Assembly, and they were singing this song, and it troubled me, and I have no idea what it was, but there was this one part in the song, and they kept singing over and over again, and it said, take me back to where we started. And for some reason, it bothered me, because I was like, I don't want to go back to when I was 8 and I barely knew God, and we hadn't been through everything that we had already been through, and he hadn't proven himself faithful over and over and over and over and over to the point where I trust him with my life fully. I don't want to go back there. But then as I was preparing this sermon, I was like, maybe for some of us, we do need to go back at least mentally and remember what he did for us when we were 8 or 9 or 10 years old or 25. That moment when we first believed with everything that was in us, we spoke to him and we said, please, God, I know I need you. Save me. Maybe we need to go back there and remember his huge love for us. Do we need to go back and just remind ourselves of this open faith that we had when we were 8 or 9 years old, where the world and Satan hadn't got in and messed with our brains? And just remember the pure, awesome, beautiful love of God that could cover everything and make us white as snow. Because if you raised your hand today, you believed that at one point in your life. So what's it going to take to get back? If you need to get back, get back. God, remind me who you are. Remind me of this love that never ends. If you did ask him into your heart when you were 8 and you haven't hardly talked to him since then, he's still there and he's still big enough to erase everything yet again and make you white as snow again. Let's start over. If that's what y'all need to do, then do it today. Because remember, it's the best decision you'll ever make in your life. It's letting him come in and do the work that only he can do in your heart and in your mind. So there's one more verse. We might have to skip a couple of slides because I just went on a thing. But sort of the last one. Yes, this one. Okay, so we sang about God's big love. And we're going to sing about his big love again. So I'm doing kind of like James did, and we're going to sandwich it, okay? So we've got God's love here. We've got our issues we need to deal with, but his love is still there. So I absolutely love this passage, and I'm sorry I got to do this again. But this is Paul. He's my favorite. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he will strengthen you with the power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being. Who's in there? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. Go back to this. Go back to his huge love. Pray that he asks you to open your heart and your mind again to that love. It surpasses knowledge. I can't understand it. After everything that I've done, after all the different times that I've decided to do things my own way, or I've hurt someone in his creation, after everything that I've done, he still loves me. And that should blow our minds, because he is love. I'm going to have Sam come. He's going to help us sing one more song together about God's love for us. I challenge you today to ask the Holy Spirit to point to you, or point you to what it might be that's in his way. Because he's in there. If you need to go back to where you started, you need to pick up where you left off a couple years ago, he's still in there. Sometimes I think about my teenage years when I kind of really did my own thing. The things that he protected me from that I will never know about this side of heaven. Because he's still in there working. Even when we ignore that he's there, he's still in there. I pray you all believe that today. Let's pray. Precious God, loving Father, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for coming and dying for our sins, for all of us, those who know you and those who don't yet. I pray today, God, that you would help us to see the world with fresh eyes, to see you with fresh eyes, to embrace the fact that you love us, and that will never stop. No matter what we do, you will never stop loving us, and we praise your name for constantly pursuing us and protecting us and being there, Jesus. I pray that you would speak to those today who need an extra touch from you. Help us release the things we're holding on to, God. Whatever's in your way, we lay it at your feet. We ask you to deal with it so that we can move forward in the power of your love and the power of your Holy Spirit. You're so good to us, Jesus, and we love you very much. Amen.